You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Mental Health Monday.
I'm so angry.
It is Mental Health Monday.
Everyone's going to turn it off. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
We are exploring more emotions with Heidi Gaiman for Mental Health Monday. Oh, this has been a
great
series.
We're not going to be able to be serious in this one.
It's probably right. It's just like a process anchor, like the little silliness.
We're going to explore anger today. So I don't know if that needs to be a disclaimer or not. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon. I almost forgot my line.
So angry. So we are exploring anger today. Great article on Heidi's website, heidigaiman.com, on anger. Great article about exploring this as an emotion. Keep in mind also, if you have enjoyed this series, we have a series further back on emotions and the gospel, Created for Connection. That's Heidi's book from CPH that we explored. Oh gosh, it was a year ago, probably. It was last year that we explored that. You can find it from Concordia Publishing House, cph.org. And also a book that we explored even before that, Finding Hope from Brokenness to Restoration. We do talk about brokenness in this series a little bit too, as we explore emotions, and that may come up as we're talking about anger today. What may be difficult to understand about anger? And see how I said that in a calm voice, because I learned about calm last time.
That's true. We need to apply all of our calm. We're going to open up access to calm that's inside of us right now as we talk about anger. I think there's a few components of anger that make it challenging for us. One is its intensity. It is a stronger emotion. When we talk about emotional granularity or having words, lots of vocabulary available for our emotion, we know that one thing that actually helps in processing emotions and have emotion regulation is the ability to name the nuance of the emotion, from just a little bit there to super there. And anger is further on that spectrum of the emotions of injustice or justice, which we'll talk about in a second. Then say irritability, annoyance, frustration, right? We start to move up. Rage would be a more intense version within that. And so I think anger's simply intensity can be really uncomfortable. Remember, emotions are sensory experiences. And so we feel, right? They're feelings. We feel them in our system. And so that intensity on its own can be really challenging. And when we are challenged sensory-wise, when our nervous systems become overloaded, then we also tend to shut down some of our cognitive processes. And so we move from prefrontal cortex and language and being able to put things into words and express them to other portions. And it's funny because as we go up to even rage would be more toward only our amygdala is lighting up and active. And we're a little bit in that place where survival instincts kick in and we're getting less and less, or we're getting farther and farther from that prefrontal cortex language ability. And so the metacognition of our executive functioning starts to shut down a little bit. Good news, they can all come back online. Don't worry. We are made for restorative processes. However, that makes it challenging to process and to consider, to think about it reasonably, and then also to kind of think about it from a bird's eye view so we can navigate it and figure it out. And so those are two things. I would say one more thing that makes anger challenging to process is its relationship to justice. We, because we are humans and we are sinful and we have a broken understanding of righteousness or rightness and judgment, we will always be a little off. God is perfect. And when he looks at the world and sees justice and sees injustice, he can make a perfect understanding and assumption of that. And as humans, we don't. And so in that, when anger comes up related to justice and the things of unfairness in the world, there's always some intrinsic shame connected to it. And so we have to deal with that plus the meta emotion of shame about anger because we're Christians and are we supposed to experience that and all of that good stuff. And so it gets complicated fast.
Yeah. This, I don't know where you're
at. Are you feeling anger?
I'm feeling so much anger. Well, I was actually thinking how.
Now she's been perplexed.
I was thinking about, that fun thing you do in therapy when you have to think about an emotion and then feel where it feels in your body. And anger is one of those ones. It's very consuming. It doesn't just sit in one place. Mm-hmm. In at least for me, it's like it's everywhere. And mm-hmm. Like you're saying, it's hard to function through that and to know how to process through that in a healthy way without like mm-hmm. doing things you may regret in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Or that would hurt your knuckles.
Or that would hurt your knuckles or being
your mothers or your relationship.
Yeah.
It takes
a lot of practice mm-hmm. and understanding what your body is doing and how to process through mm-hmm. that. To do it in a healthy way, because it is something that we all experience as one of those emotions in our emotional soup. Like this yeah. is it's something that happens.
Absolutely. I think that's really great to point out too. Like let's put a blanket of grace on this, is that you're going to have anger as a human being on the planet. And in the article on my website about anger, we talk about its relationship to justice. And actually, the relationship between anger and justice is so strong that like it led me down a little bit of a rabbit hole when I was writing this book that I had to rein in about whether each emotion that God experiences is related to parts of his character, because he experiences them in perfection. And I'll tell you what, if I do that research, I'm going to have to get a doctorate, because it is like very comprehensive research and there's a lot of mystery in it. And I don't think I have the hours in the day for that right now. But like when we see God in particularly expressing anger and even rage or outrage, or this, it's very intrinsically connected to justice and people's ability to, you know, follow him, treat others with fairness and justice. And honestly, again, this is one reason why in Emotions in the Gospel, I want people to first pull back and look at God's experience of these emotions, because it takes a lot of that shame away from it. Because this is, you know, if God can experience anger and there's not anything wrong with him, he's not going to do it sinfully. That makes the anger itself, or that the presence of anger, like in the world, not like about my sin, right? Not about sinfulness itself. Again, however, we as humans only experience these things in brokenness. And I think one of the big theological things we have to attune to with anger, and I think it's Jeff Gibbs. Dr. Jeff Gibbs has a good article on this on the internet or in the Concordia Journal about righteous anger. And is there any righteous anger? You know, like how do we determine if we have a right to be angry or not? And he attunes to the fact that I think this is really accurate biblically, that like God, he is the one, the creator of everything. He has a rightness in him, whereas we don't. Like we're always messed up. And so when we add our judgment to other people's injustice, that it can almost always end up with some piece of problem within that. And so like God is really the one who can justice-wise be angry. That said, one thing that I propose is that anger comes up in our system because we are made in the image of God. We look around us in the universe and we see things that are unfair. We see people being treated poorly. We see people doing hurtful things and harming our relationship with them. And so like it makes sense to me that God gave us a way to have a radar for that and to say, wait, hold on a minute. This is something that needs attention, right? It's what we do with anger that then can become problematic. Like you said, if we're going to hurt our body or someone else in some way, shape, or form.
Sarah, you brought up a good point. Like what this has to do with it in our chat, in our notes, Sarah brought up a good point about what this, this is probably a whole nother six episodes.
Probably.
But what that means on the, like when we interact on the internet.
Why it's so easy to be angry on the internet. Yes. Because it's such like a petri dish of injustice so often, especially on social media. How often do you scroll your social media and like 90% of your feed is just injustice everywhere that we must know about and must do something about? And generally the first thing we do is become angry.
Increasingly so in
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Well, this is where it becomes really connected to our sense of connectedness, right? Like, and I think I do a lot of teaching in my relationship work about our circles of influence or whatever. Like, where we put people's thoughts, opinions, and judgments or ideas within those circles of what's closest to us versus what's farthest away from us, right? The social media, we sometimes accidentally put like right inside of our intimate circle, like with our spouses and partners and our, you know, family members and in our like super deep intimate friendships, when those people can't exist on social media. And so that's what confuses this whole thing. But at the same time, most of the time we're talking about quite distant connection, right? That there isn't, even when there is like a dailiness to it, there's not necessarily the same depth and things like that. We have to attune to that because since anger is connected to injustice and then some kind of judgment or opinion about those things, we have to understand that something farther outside of our circle of intimacy is going to feel unnecessarily then disconnecting because we accidentally placed it closer, like to us. Like we don't want to take someone's opinion so seriously when they're not in our inner circle, but it being in our face every day and our feed can kind of easily do that.
But what if I have some other, maybe they're not in my inner circle, but because they share the same confession of faith, the same, mm-hmm. we go to the same church or we work together or
The roots are deeper.
Right. We have some other connection. Maybe they're not in my inner circle, but we do have some sort of connection. And my favorite phrase from Peter Slayton here in the building, someone is being wrong on the internet and I must correct them.
Hello.
He says it's so that because he doesn't do that.
I mean, no.
That's kind of the mindset that we embrace and anger rises then when we see something that we feel is unjust.
Yeah.
Right.
In another circle. And I just realized we need to take a quick break.
Oh,
so we'll do that.
Okay.
And then we'll unpack that a little more. We are exploring more emotions with Heidi Gaiman, author of Emotions and the Gospel Created for Connection, right here on Mental Health Monday on the Coffee Hour. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are exploring more emotions. Today we are discussing anger, which sounds more like rage sometimes when I say it. We're discussing anger as exploring anger as an emotion with Heidi Gaiman, author of Emotions and the Gospel Created for Connection. Okay, so I opened probably Pandora's box. Well, you brought it up. No, Sarah brought it up.
I brought it up.
You brought it back. Now we're there. We're just going to go with it. Okay, I want to center back on the definition of anger. I think that might help because I think you'll see how the internet interweaves into that. And then also how what you brought up, Andy, that when you share a confession of faith with someone, that sometimes that can have this like false intimacy about it that can be really hard theologically in how we understand the body of Christ. I actually think the book of Ephesians, this is why all my writings on relationship are around the book of Ephesians, because it helps clarify this. That will be for another day. But the definition of anger then is a strong or intense emotion related to feeling that someone has done wrong or something has gone wrong, often connected to something perceived as unfair or unacceptable in some way, often coupled or related with a spike in hormones. So understanding it's a physical experience, right? Which we talked about at the beginning of it. But there is this perceived wrongness. And you were just talking about Peter Slayton's like ideas. Like I need to deal with the wrongness. And I think that one thing that I love about Jesus is that Jesus he's solved the problems, right? Like he has entered into the world to free us so that we can decide even if we want to deal with the wrongness or not. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I have a degree in social justice. Like I believe in attending to justice. However, sometimes we can get so into this concept that we think we're the saviors of the world, that we take on far more issues of wrongness than what we've been called to. And so, or we make them bigger, I guess, like they sit so heavily, when really, like, the battle, even in this, has been won by Jesus Christ. And I don't even actually know maybe how that falls out in a certain way in that moment, but that's the promise I have with me. So I can step back a little bit, let myself process that anger, that sense of injustice inside of me, that sense of perceived wrongness. Also, you know, maybe find some insight from other people's perspectives, because mine is so limited as a human being, and then be able to decide how to navigate that injustice. Usually it's better to navigate it outside of that anger, right? Like, you and I, we know that when we have acted in the moment of anger, that spike in hormones in our system, that those like cognitive processes start to go offline and we are not being as reasonable or sensical, and our access to those things are shut off a little bit. So this, more than anything with this emotion, we just want to give ourselves a little space to understand our place in the universe and with God, and to like attend to like letting the emotion have its space so that all the things can come back online. And then maybe other perspectives, understanding our limitedness.
Talking about it, the spike in hormones and how we love to doom scroll sometimes on social media. Anger can be addictive, can't it? Like, we actually like to live in that space in a really weird way, that like it makes us feel good to be angry about stuff all the time. Is that a thing? Am I making that up?
Well, I feel like 2020 really brought that to life for us, didn't it? Like, not beautiful, not a pretty thing.
Well, it was such a universal experience, right?
Right.
Yeah. I think, first of all, there is like, oh gosh, it can get really complicated really fast. But like the stress hormone, like our body doesn't quite know, once it's had enough of it, how to process it. And so it kind of perceives it as something normal, right? And so then it continues. So we have like reuptake of it, and it doesn't calm back into our system in the way that we need it to. And so the like stress hormone, cortisol, is again very complicated, and maybe for another episode. At the same time, I think when we have like a communal experience, and that is at its core what the internet is, it's a communal experience. And I think this happens in churches, like I was saying before about what Andy brought up, is that there's that sense of community with it can make the anger more challenging, because we are supposed to be connected. Like, there is this at least guise, or almost like a 1950s movie, gauze of connectivity to the internet and to the body of Christ. But without the actual actions of connectivity in that, then it can be hard to wrestle with, like, you know, again, where we put the influence in that, and who gets a say, who's right, quote unquote, and who's wrong. I do think, okay, I love you Lutherans, but even outside of the internet, we can get so wrapped up in Lutheranism because we're so right. Like, our theology is so good that then we think it's our job to tell everyone else like that their theology is really bad. And so, like you said, we can live in that rightness. And I think, again, that's where I really appreciate the work of Jeff Gibbs, to be able to, like, you know, pan out and recognize our limitedness as humans, where God is not limited. And so his anger is always more accurate. Our ability to judge what is justice and injustice, we need to always be able to tell ourselves, I could be wrong. Like, this is what I'm thinking in this situation, but I could be wrong. And that really does mitigate, I think, our experience of anger a little bit, because it brings that humility into it that we need, while navigating the boundaries we need and saying, no, this is not okay. This is not going to make life more navigable for me or for someone else or whatever.
Okay, so what do we do with anger when we have the emotion boiling up and we see the injustice and we feel anger? What am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah, no, it's really good. I think, first of all, like you brought up, like feel it in your body and where it's at. It does tend to like spread, right? And so, and it's one thing that makes it then, again, that overload sense. And so feeling where it is, where's the seed is what I call it, of anger started, and attend to that, because that is with that spike in hormones, to be able to grab onto that embodied experience of anger and have God work with us to tend to it there is going to be more effective, because our cognitive processes have already started to go a little bit offline, right? So if I just start to try to think through it, you guys have been in this. This is when you start to live in that anger and you're spinning around in it and you're reaching for anything because that reason has already gone to the wayside a little bit. So finding it in your body will help bring those things back online a little bit. And so that's the first step, is to find that seed of anger. The other thing I would say is anger is an emotion that needs space because of its intensity, right? So it's kind of like when you're doing intense exercises, like you start to breathe heavier and your body, like it normally takes up more space, right? When you're running, when you're doing these different things. And so that's a signal to us how God made us. And so we can work with what we've been given then. So movement is in particular really helpful in processing anger. And it helps the emotion to begin to like move around in our system. And even better, this is what we're looking for in emotions, to move from inside to outside. So I don't have to like live with it feeling like it's taking over my system, right? And I mean outside in a like a healthy sense, where it's able to be a little bit more objective, be able to move into like, you know, the universe around me, the air and all of that, instead of it to be like kind of stuck in either my stomach or like my spine and all of that stuff where anger tends to live. And so I think movement is one of the best ways to give ourselves space. Just take a little brisk walk around, give yourself like a new location, you know, move from, people do this naturally, like you move from your desk where you're like reading the email to like go take a bathroom break or something like that. Like we kind of naturally do these things, but we can step into them instead. And movement is one of the best things we can do for anger.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Throwing heavy things helps too.
Maybe kettlebells at the gym, right? Those kind of things.
Yep.
Although be careful you don't hurt yourself.
Don't hurt yourself. Yes.
Slamming slam balls. Be gentle. Yeah. Even in your anger.
No one else can get injured. Yes.
Being able to express ourselves is one way we process emotions. So it's one reason we naturally want to like kind of go off and tell our friend our problem, right? And that can be done in healthy ways. But again, this is an emotion that needs space because it gets big and big. And so instead, to be able to express it in other ways, you know, maybe being able to journal or be able to like use color on a paper. There's a whole therapeutic method where you make marks with different colors just to get it from the inside to the outside. And I think we often as humans just think like words are that way, but we know, hey, you guys, use your data. You know that you have destroyed things with words and anger before. So maybe that didn't work. Let's try a different method, you know, and I am chief of sinners, though I be here.
I understand that full well, and it's only taken me nearly half a century to figure out that when I feel that, yes, just step away from the scene.
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone about it necessarily. If I really feel the need to, I have to find someone that I can trust to not like, yeah. Don't take this too seriously. I am just feeling all the feels. All right. We are, wow, we're out of time. I'm so angry about that.
I want to be angry for more time.
There is no injustice in us needing to close our mouths so that our listeners can contemplate on their own.
Oh, man. It's been fun exploring more emotions. We have one more for next week. We'll do that next Monday. Heidi, thank you so much for helping us explore anger today.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Mental Health on the Coffee, Mental Health Monday. Not just mental health. You've been listening to Mental Health Monday on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.